what do you think happens when you give birth?
When you give birth, it hurts.
I know, there's a lot of gross bodily stuff that supposedly happens.
The whole idea of, like, hemorrhaging and all of that kind of freaks me out a bit. Or, like, the prospect of, like, what if the epidural, something goes wrong and then you're just, like, disabled for the rest of your life?
I think, God, this is such a weird question. As far as the actual way it happens, I'm not too sure, like, because I've never been to a birth.
I don't know. I feel like... I have no idea. I actually don't know.
A lot of sweating and grunting. It's general pain, basically.
Is the woman, in your mind, lying on a bed? Is she moving around? Is she in a birth pool? How do you think women actually give birth?
I feel like she's in a wheelchair first and, like, wheel her to the bed, and then they put her on the bed and they put her legs up and they're, like, getting ready for this baby to shoot out.
Screaming, a lot of blood. The woman gets very moody, and because of the change in hormones or whatever it is, I don't know whether that's an accurate depiction, but that's the way that
so
it's depicted in the movies.
What did you think happened in the labour room when you gave birth, before you actually did give birth?
Well, I didn't really read a lot because I didn't want to know too much, because then I think I'd be freaked out. So I did the sort of prenatal class and stepped out when it got to the labour bit, because I thought too much information is not a good thing, because, you know, I'm already pregnant, so it's not like I can turn this around. So I didn't really think about it too much, to be honest. I was more focusing on what's going to come afterwards and having my son born. So that was kind of my focus.
And that's, I just think of her face, like what her face would be like. And, like, the husband, like, next to her, and she's, like, hitting him and, like, swearing.
Her eyes. So where do these images of birth come from?
Definitely television, definitely, because I haven't witnessed any births, thank goodness.
I don't know. I've never really seen a birth. The only time I've seen birth is in the movies, and it's always depicted as being extremely painful.
So where did you get your information from before you gave birth?
One of my friends gave me the book What to Expect When You're Expecting, but I didn't really read very much of it. My mum had told me some horror stories from when she had me and my brothers, and I really didn't want to know too much.
You're listening to Think Health on 2SER, and we're talking about some of the misconceptions surrounding pregnancy and giving birth, many of which could be fed by all the drama on TV and in the movies. After talking to some of the people on the street, I had a chat with Felicity Copeland, a midwife from the UTS Faculty of Health, to get a dose of reality.
When we've been emailing each other and talking, you kept saying you were catching babies. Is that...
Yes.
Is that what you do most of the time?
I suppose I work clinically, yeah, three quarters of the time. Catching babies, working in clinics. We tend to say catching babies rather than deliver, because delivering is a bit like a pizza.
I'm sort of imagining baseball.
Like. Yeah, no, we haven't dropped many.
So I guess my first question is about information, because this week, as we've been looking at this story, I called my mom and I called my grandma, and I asked them, when you were pregnant, when you were going to give birth, did you know what was going to happen? How much did you know? And my grandma was immediately, no, I knew nothing. Mm. And I said, well, didn't you ask your mom? And she said, no, we didn't talk about it back then. And then I said, well, when my mom was pregnant, and she said, oh yeah, we talked all the time. My mom knew exactly what was going to happen. Is this the kind of like normal story that women get, like, talk a lot with their parents or role models, and they are informed when they get there?
Okay, it's a good question. I suppose it's completely contextual where you are, where you're giving birth, what your sort of relationship to your family or your caregivers are. But information is so much more readily available now about birth. You know, the internet is a great source of information for women. It's so easy. You can just log on and look at some films. YouTube is a great source. I guess most hospitals run classes, antenatal classes. So I think we are much more open to childbirth and what happens. But of course, with that comes a lot of distortions, and the media is responsible for some very negative portrayals of childbirth, and that disturbs me as a midwife.
So in your experience, do you come across that a lot, where you'll meet a woman who has a false idea. She may, you know, she may think one thing, reality is completely different. Like for example, when we were just out on the street just mm-hmm. asking people, and we came across a woman with a really tiny, I think she was a 12-week-old baby. Uh-huh. And her first thing she said to us was, it was a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Wow. Well, that's good.
So I don't know what images were going through her head when she was going in, but she obviously, it was easier than expected. So the media had drummed up, or her preconceptions were so.
I think horror stories sell well. You know, people love a good drama. I love a good birth story. Oh, I had a 64-hour labour. I think as a midwife that's not possible. But I guess every woman prepares and experiences birth differently. Their bodies are different. Some babies just come more easily. But also I think fear and information and a knowledge, really, you know, having a good knowledge of birth, I think is very helpful. But, I mean, most women will say, oh, it just wasn't what I expected. It felt differently, and you have particularly with your first baby, there's so much information out there, and it's so conflicting. You know, television programs, these new childbirth observational documentaries. You know, one born every minute. For example, I'm looking at them at the moment. There's one filmed in America and one filmed in Britain. They're entirely different. The way the midwives or the nurses are with those women in those two different countries and their philosophy about birth is very different.
So is it like how we typically think of the British as way more restrained while the Americans...
no, the American model is very much more obstetric and very few women up in this particular hospital in America. What was disturbing was almost everybody was on their backs. Almost everybody was offered pain relief. There were very few natural births, very few... You know, women moving around or in the water, for example. And I think that really distorts how women think they have to be in labour, that they're going to need pain relief, that they have to be on their backs, that there'll be a professional involved in a white coat that will tell them what to do. You know, that's really disempowering.
Could we say that's a new way we think of birth because of, like, the movies and TVs? Because, you know, even 100 years ago, it would not have been anywhere like this. The way... we give birth, or the way women give birth, has been evolving for as long as we've been going.
Yeah, it's true. I suppose you ask the question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
Birth really changed sort of at the beginning of the 1900s when it left the home environment and moved into the hospitals, and it became much more medicalised. And with that came good things, you know, improved technology, lots of cases improved outcomes, but it did take birth away from the home environment and from the normal, natural sort of family environment. It removed it. So then we saw it as something outside of normal, and we didn't see much of it really. It was just something that happened to women. They went to hospital and they probably had a pretty average experience, you know, had to be on their backs, and then they came home with a baby. Whereas now at least we're seeing the system in between, and women are starting to say, well, I want to know more about it. I want to have more control. I want to make more decisions. I want to understand it. I want to work with the pain. And that's I think, a much more positive way to see birth.
You've mentioned a couple of times women on their backs. Mm. And this was something which really, I think, was funny this week when we were talking about childbirth on the street and with each other, was that everyone's vision of what's inside the operating room or inside the room is completely different. And some people are thinking it's just a bed like you have at home, or just a normal hospital bed, or it's in a sauna. Like there was one guy who was just like, it's just a binary process. It's the child is in the woman, then the next step is it's outside and there's just nothing in between.
Wow.
What, like, can you give us a bit of a picture of what it looks like?
Well, hopefully women will be able to avoid going to theatre. We know that a certain amount of women will need help with getting their babies born, so they need a cesarean section. And so that's the normal operating theatre, which is, you know, fairly bog standard. You know, most of us have been there. They're not particularly warm and fuzzy, but they're necessary. They're sterile, they're cold, lots of machines, lots of people in funny blue outfits doing important things and running around like little beavers. Yeah, but they're a necessary thing, obviously. Depending on which hospital you're in, but for example, my hospital has three very beautiful rooms that call the birth centre. So they look like a very normal bedroom, a little bit 1980s dated IKEA. but yeah, no machinery. Everything's tucked away. There's a nice lamp, soft lighting, and there's a very lovely big bath that women can give birth in. So it's fairly friendly. It doesn't feel like a medicalised room. And then most delivery suites, which are sort of where most women will birth, are fairly, I have to say they're fairly average. They're fairly medicalised. There's a sort of medical bed that sits absolutely in the middle of the room and people are compelled to get on it. So we often say to women, put all your bags on the bed so you don't get on it. And there's often lots of equipment, you know, monitoring and things like that. So they're not particularly conducive to a warm environment where you can relax and your endorphins can kick in and you can feel safe. There's lots of bright lights. So we do talk to women a lot and their partners about making it a more friendly environment. Don't get into the hospital gown, for example. You're not sick. Wear your own clothes.
Yeah.
Turn the lights off. Put your music on. Take in your favourite things that make you feel happy. Your big, I don't know what it could be, maybe a picture or your favourite slippers or dressing gown, something that's yours.
Mm.
Bring food.
I think for a lot of us, we have like two distinct views. It's either an ominous thing where there's lots of pain and yelling, or it's this wonderful lullaby, you know, like it's obviously in between somewhere.
Yeah, well, I guess, as I say, every woman's experience is different. But I think midwives can make an enormous difference, really help them have a very positive experience, regardless of whether they end up in theatre or whether they have a straightforward birth in the bath, for example. It's not necessarily about what it looks like. It's about the experience and how you're treated and cared for in that sort of actual birth. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Hmm.
So let me ask you a bit about, I hate to say danger, but, you know, like...
The risk.
The risk, yeah, that's a better word. Because, again, most of our experience, especially for the males, is through the media, and that's almost always drama. You don't get, you know, a straightforward, in quotes, birth on a TV show or a movie. It's always something wrong and there's an airplane crashing and whatever.
You're absolutely right, because a normal birth is probably pretty boring for viewers. You know, they want drama, conflict, men in you know, running fast with equipment and lights and noise and tension. That's what sells bums on seats. Yeah. And that's what's interesting in analysing this one born every minute, for example. It's edited very carefully to always have a little bit of suspense and a bit of risk and a bit of danger, and all suddenly the baby's heartbeat's gone, oh my lordy, we're off. Well, the reality is that normally in a birth, when things start going a little bit pear-shaped, we have time, you know, things start to declare themselves and we go, oh, okay, this is unusual, this is going a little bit different, so we need to sort of keep an eye on that, and then we might maybe need to step in slowly. And so it's very rare that it's that emergency crazy, oh my lord, you've got to get to theatre. I mean, that does happen sometimes, and it's really scary for all of us. Of course, most for the woman and their partners, but usually it's a slow and steady process.
And for most people, it's not going to be that crazy joyride.
Rollercoaster?
Like, yeah.
Well, I think lots of women describe contractions as fairly, feel like tsunami-like. It's hard work. It's challenging. It is painful. It's overwhelming for some women. And that's why midwives are so important to support them so they feel safe.
The other thing we were getting is we were just out on the street trying to talk to as many people as we could, and especially from the young women, was side effects. That was a big thing they were all talking about, you know, either changes to their body or, you know, things like... And a lot of them, especially with drugs, which was I found surprising, that they were worried about the epidural could cause long-term effects. Is that as overblown as the rest of it?
It's a very good question. If you talk about epidurals, they're fairly common and they're fairly sophisticated, and the anaesthetists are very highly skilled. It's very, very rare to have some really adverse, sort of terrible outcome from an epidural. They do certainly change the nature of labour, because women are now immobile. Mm. They've got a catheter because they can't wee, because they can't feel their legs. They can't empty their bladder. They've got a monitor on their bellies so that we can have a listen to the baby, because we are putting some fairly significant drugs into her system. She's got a drip to sort of monitor her blood levels and her levels of fluid and her blood pressure. And then she's got something in her spine as well.
Wow.
So it does, you know, can actually affect the progress of labour. But many women feel that they're very, you know, it's a positive experience having an epidural. So harmful, helpful, they're usually quite helpful, I think. But something that midwives will try and work with women to sort of avoid, I guess. There are lots of other things you can use, you know, the bath, the shower, good support. You can use some gas, you can have some Panadeine Fort, you can have a little bit of morphine, you can, you know, use your breathing and visualization, massage, all sorts of things that we have up our sleeve, TENS machines that we can use before the big guns, the big epidurals come out.
So I guess my last question is, we've mostly been talking about how, like, the media can give us a distorted view of what pregnancy is. And as you said, there's a lot of information online, and the women that we were talking to today especially, they were talking about what to expect when you're expecting, like that famous book. Are these some of the best ways to get informed, like buying some of these books and going online, or is there a better way?
I think coming to classes. I think classes are really important. If they're facilitated well, the group bonds a bit, you learn and share with other couples going through the similar experience. You know, you're working with a midwife who sees this every day, so he or she is able to sort of give you some really, you know, realistic impressions of what to expect. Books are very helpful, and there are some, you know, really wonderful books out there, Sheila Kitchener, Janet Balaskas, those, Ina May Gaskin, those books are sort of really sort of very important, but there are some books I don't like. So I'm all for coming together in a group and sharing and asking questions. And